Welcome to our class on Chassidus. We're going to be learning today a beautiful Chassidic discourse from the Rebbe. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called Vayidaber Elokim Eskol Hadvarim Eile. God spoke all these words. The Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse on the second day of the holiday Shavuot in the year Tavshin Chavches, 55 years ago. The Rebbe went on to certify and edit this Chassidic discourse in honor of the holiday Shavuot in the year Tavshin Mem Tes, 34 years ago. So again, the Chassidic discourse is based on the verse of the Ten Commandments where God says, Vayidaber Elokim, Elokim spoke, as kol hadvarim ha'ela, all these words, Lamar is saying, and he goes on to say, Anoichi, I am Hashem, your God, etc. So the Rebbe brings from the Alter Rebbe that asks the question, what does it mean as kol hadvarim ha'ela, all these words? And it should have said, Vayidaber Elokim, God spoke, and start saying the commandments, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. What does it mean when it's saying all these words? What words are we talking about? And the Alter explains that when the Torah says all these words, it's referring to the whole Torah. As Kaladarma is referring to the whole Torah. In other words, not only the Torah, the written law, and the oral law, but any piece of Torah that any future student is going to revolutionize and teach in the Torah was all set at Mount Sinai. And that's why the verse says, Vayidaber Elokim es kol hadvarim ha'ela, God said all these words. In other words, that in the Ten Commandments, Anoichi, in there is included, obviously we're dealing with powerful energy, in there was included all the words of the whole Torah, the written Torah, the oral law, and anything that anyone would teach in the future. That's what the Alter Rebbe explains as kol hadvarim ha'ela. The Rebbe brings down, he says, he'd like to connect this with what the commentary of Rashi on the verse that says, the Rashi asks, why does it say all these words before it says, Anoichi, the commandment? So Rashi says, it's coming to teach us that all the Ten Commandments was included in the first commandment. And afterwards, he went ahead and spelled out the rest of all the Ten Commandments. In other words, in essence, both commentaries are saying the same thing. In other words, that the Torah was given in a way of a generalization, and then it went into the detail. So in other words, according to Rashi, what is it referring to? It's referring to the Ten Commandments. In other words, first it was said, like a general one commandment, and the Anoichi, which includes all the Ten Commandments, and then Hashem went and spelled out each commandment. And according to Alter Rebbe, it's referring to the entire Torah. That was given in a general way. They were all given right then and there in the Ten Commandments. And afterwards, it was spelled out more in detail as the Torah got, you go more into reading more of the Torah, the written law, the oral law, and up until any teacher that teaches anything in the Torah. And the Rebbe says he'd like to add that this idea as well, in other words, the detail and the revelation of the Ten Commandments is also done in a way of, the Hebrew term is klal and prat, a general idea, and then it's broken out into details, because in the beginning, you have the Torah, you have the written law, your Torah Shemaksav, the way it's called, and then you have more in detail, everything in the Torah Shemaksav, written law is written more in detail in the oral law. In other words, the whole Torah Shebaal Peh, the whole oral law is an explanation, something new in there, it's an explanation, and more insight into the written law. Like, for example, what does it say in the Talmud? How do we know what it says in this verse? So the verse gives you the headline, and the Torah Shebaal Peh, it expands it out. And the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral law, is also given in a way of klal and prat, the general idea and more specifics. Like, for example, you have the Mishnah, you have the Brisa, and then you have the Gemara, the way the Gemara goes into more detail, the Mishnah and the Brisa. Up to the point that anyone that later on goes and teaches and explains something is given in the level of what? Klal, a general idea, and then prat. So the Rebbe asks a simple question. All the details, in Hebrew it's called pratim, all the details of the Torah, up to anything that any student's eventually going to revolutionize on Torah, everything was given where? To Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai. So the question is, if that's the case, everything is traced back to the beginning, why wasn't it given all the beginning of Mount Sinai? And why was it given in a way of a klal and a prat? Here's the general idea, and then it, over the years and over time, it gets detailed out. It should have all been given at Mount Sinai. So the Rebbe says we're going to understand this based on what we find, the reference to the creation of the world. And why is Rebbe using the idea of a creation of the world? Because we know it says, we look into the Torah, and from the Torah Hashem used to create the world. So obviously, we're using an example of the world because the world is connected to the idea of Torah. And the creation of the world was the same way also. There was the klal, the general creation, and then detail the creation. Where do we have that? Because it's brought down in Chazal, and Chazal say like this. That when Hashem created the world, he used asara mamoris, 10 utterances. And as we know, it says, in theory, God could have created the world with one utterance. And as we know, for example, when the Torah says that bereshis, in the beginning, that's one of the utterances. Like it says, bereshis nami maimruhu, bereshis is one of the utterances. And so even though it's one of the utterances, but it's a general utterance, that in there you have all the other nine utterances are included in bereshis. And that's why it says, bereshis in the beginning, bara lakim, God created, as a shamayim, the heaven, v'asaretz, on the earth. And what does it teach us in Chazal? When it says the heaven was created, it includes all the creations on the heaven. And when it says aretz, the earth, it's included everything that's in the earth as well. And those, everything was ultimately created from the beginning, from the bereshis. Because bereshis is a general statement which includes all the statements of creation, but it was on the level of a klal, a general idea, and afterwards it went on into the details, into the nine different utterances, and that's how you have the creations in the specific unique creation, everyone on its own. So in other words, so what Rebbe is saying is this same idea that you have in Torah, you have the klal, the general identity, you have the prat and the details. The same thing was used when Hashem created the world, you have the general utterance of bereshis, and then you have the spelled out all the details of it. Just like we find when Hashem created the heaven, it's the heaven, but it includes everything, and the earth includes everything. Now, just like it's in the 10 utterances, the way it came down in reality, in a revealed way. In, for example, where is that in the sphere of Malchus? Because Malchus is ultimately the one that delivers the creation. And as we know that the utterance of Bereshis is a general utterance, which in there is included all the other nine utterances. The same thing also in its source. In the 10 spheroids, that we know that the utterance of Bereshis, which is a general idea, and you have multiple details, so the same thing also applies, what? To the spheroids. That you have the first sphera, and in the sphera, everything's included there as well. And like the Rebbe brings powerful, and he says like this, because we know it says in the Targum, so there's different translations for the Chumash. So it's something which is called a Targum Yerushalmi. So in the translation Yerushalmi, it says like this. When the Torah says Bereshis, now we already know Bereshis means what? The first utterance, which in there is included all the utterances. So the Targum says, you know what Bereshis means? The Chuchmasa. The idea of what? Chuchma comes from Chachma, which is the first sphera, and all the spheroids are included in Chachma. So you see the Bereshis is connected to Chachma, which is the first sphere, and all the spheres are included in Chachma. That is what the Targum Yerushalmi. The Targum Unkelus, which is printed in every single Chumash, it says, how does it translate Bereshis? Bekadmin. Bekadmin means what? Again, it translates as Kadam, in the beginning. So what is it? What does it mean in the beginning? It's referring to the Ratzon. We know that in the spheres you have, so according to the Targum Shalmi's Bereshis, B'chachma, it starts with Chachma. The Targum Unkelus says B'kadmisom, even before that. So what is it referring to? It's referring to the sphere of Keser. In Keser, it's referring to Ratzon, which is higher than Chachma. Up to the level of Machshava Hakduma De'ak, which is the thought, the primordial thought in Adam Kadma, which is a higher level, which is basically the general wanting from Hashem for the create, the whole establishment of the world. So it's even a higher level. So first, again, so Targum Yerushalmi says, B'chuchmasa. Targum Unkelus says, B'kadmisa. So the first level is Ratzon and Keser. Higher than that, it's in the thought The Machshava Akduma of Ak, which is the general wanting to create the world, which is higher than the Ratzon of Keser, and even higher than that is the will that Hashem had to create the world, which existed before the Tzimtzum. Before the Tzimtzum, which is a general idea, which is even greater than Machshava Akduma de Ak. And to take it a step further, the Rebbe says, even before the Tzimtzum, you also have Klal and Prat. Why? Because after God decided that He's going to create the world, so then He planned what it's going to be, what the future is going to be, right? So He knows His will and His plan and what He's going to create, that's also a general idea. And later on, it has to spell out in detail. So in other words, so just like the Torah, as we learned, is klal and prat. You have the general idea, you have the details on many, many levels. So the same thing also when it comes down into the world is also in this idea of klal, the general idea, and then in details also what? On many, many levels. So if that's the case, services we have to understand. What is the whole idea? Why did Hashem create the world? Hashem created the world so that there should be finite human beings, finite places, finite time. The old intent was it should be details, not general ideas. And this intent that God had, that it should be details, human beings that are finite, places that are finite, times that are finite, that's the reason why God wanted to create the whole Tzimtzum, the contraction. God was infinite. He had to contract Himself so that through many levels of Ishtalshos, through different worlds, etc., you should have the 10 utterances, the 10 specific utterances, and from there, what should be created, specific people. So if that's the case, if the ultimate intent was to have finite creations, and ultimately it comes down to the 10 utterances, so why didn't God start right away with the will to create the details? And from there, you should have the details of the creation. So what was the reason that God needed in the creation to have the klal? If the ultimate goal is to have the finite creation and the specifics, God could have started right away with the 10 utterances. What do you have to have from before the Tzimtzum, Machshav HaDum with the Ak, the Ratzayin before, the Keter, etc.? Let him start straight with the details. Okay. So Rebbe says we're going to understand this based on a mashal. A mashal is a parable. So you have a parable and then you have the point that the parable is trying to bring out. And the parable they give, and throughout Mysticism they use this parable a lot, about when you have a brilliant teacher that wants to teach something to a student, which is not on the same level as a teacher. Obviously, the further away, that's the Mormon example. So you have somebody, a brilliant teacher, that's trying to teach something brilliant and something profound to a simple student. So Chazal teach us the laws of teaching. There's rules how to teach. So it says, how should you teach? And I'll say it in Hebrew, La'olam yishana adam l'talmida b'derech tzara. You should always teach in a short way. Don't give long dissertations. Say it short to the point. Now, but here's the important point. The reason why I said it in Hebrew was because it says you should teach your students b'derech tzara. So derech is translated like a way, a style which is short, a short style. In other words, the Rebbe is pointing out when the Talmud says you should teach in a way which is short, so it means a way which is short, not the don't shortchange the intellect. Don't not give your student the full intellectual comprehension. Present it in a short way, but don't shortchange them in the essence of the brilliance of the thought. In other words, you have to teach the whole depth with all the details, but you have to teach it in a short way. In other words, with short words. So this way the child can comprehend it. And like, for example, the Gemara gives an example. Let's look at the Mishnah. The Talmud is made up of two parts. You have the Mishnah and the Gemara. So in the Mishnah that Rabbeinu HaKadosh taught, so in the Mishnah, it's short. But in that short point in the Mishnah, you have all the details. The length, the breadth, the depth of it, etc. And later on, in the Talmud, which is called the Gemara, it's explained, with all the details are explained. But it's all sourced in the Mishnah. It's there very short, but it's there. Now, why is that? Why do you have to teach in a short way? Like when Rebbe taught the Mishnah was in a short way. Because if you're going to teach all the details at one shot, that the student's going to be overwhelmed. It could be frightening, traumatic, as people say, if you teach them everything. So that's one reason. It's too much. Also, if you teach too much, too many details, you can veer off the right path. You're not going to stay focused on the point. So therefore, how do you teach? You teach straight to the point. Say it the way it is. What happens then? The intellect that you're trying to deliver, the message you're trying to deliver, comes in a very, very finite package. In other words, so you know the general idea. So if you deliver the general idea in the beginning, and it's like when you're giving a speech, tell them what you're going to tell them, so you know what they're going to hear. And then you fill it out. But you have to tell them, say, stay focused, what the message is. Otherwise, you start up with all these thoughts, and they walk, what did I hear? What was the point here? So, and through that, what happens is afterwards, and you go into the details with all the different, the logic, et cetera. So what's going to happen is it's all going to be based on the original thought, and you're not going to veer off and end up in no man's land. So the way you teach again is you teach the point, and the reason why you teach the point is so you can be focused. You get the general idea, and therefore you're able to stay loyal to the true message, and then you flesh it out. Now, just like, so that's the mashal, that's the parable. So just like when it comes to teaching a student, and as the way you teach them is in a derech tzara, a short way, the same thing also when the teacher is trying to develop the idea that he wants to teach a child, you also bring out one point. You can't bring out multiple points. You bring out one point. Why is that? Because the intellect that's in the teacher's brain, so to speak, he also has the internal part, but he also has, so to speak, the external part of the intellect, which is capable for the student to comprehend. But when the external idea is in the, so to speak, in the brain of the teacher, so because you have the brilliance and you have the student's part, it's convoluted. It's not separated. Because you have the brilliant idea and you have the part you're trying to teach. So it's all mixed up. So what happens then is, even the external part, the part you're trying to deliver, it's too much light there. There's too much light coming from the brain and the flow of energy from the teacher. So what has to happen is, in order for the teacher to teach, he has to literally, I'll say it in Hebrew, he has to be metzamtzem. You have to create a tzimtzum. You have to create a contraction in your intellect. In other words, you have to be able to conceal the essential wisdom, that it shouldn't shine. Because if the essential wisdom is going to shine, you're going to overpower the external part that you're trying to deliver. So when you create the tzimtzum, which means you conceal the power of the message, so then what happens is you separate the chitzonius, the external part, which a student could receive, and the internal part. And it's totally separate. And what happens then is, even the external part is a point. This is the point you're trying to deliver. And what happens afterwards? Before you actually deliver it, you create, so to speak, like an image or a plan in your brain, how you're going to teach the point and also the details afterwards so that the student will receive it. Now, so the reason why the idea comes, so to speak, as only as a point, because if the point you're trying to teach a student wasn't a point, but it was all the details you're trying to give over to the student, so the details are going to come the way it's flowing from the intellect of the teacher, which means too much light, too strong. And therefore, the student won't be able to receive it. So in order for the student to receive it, A, the teacher has to, so to speak, contain himself and downplay the powerful vision the way he sees it. He has to separate the external part from the internal part. And even though he sees the general idea and the details, he has to start only with the general idea. So what he delivers first is only the general idea. And this way, the intellectual idea that he wants to deliver is focused. This is the point. Now, even though in this point, all the details are buried in there, and that you're going to teach afterwards, and not only that, you also have the internal intellect. Everything's really buried in this, so to speak, bomb of the idea. But since it's concealed, so what happens is it creates a limit, and it creates an image. in the brain, so to speak, of the teacher, so that you'll be able to deliver it to the student. The student will say, well, I get it. Now, after he gets that point, and then you tell him all the details, etc. So even the details is going to be based on the limiting point. He's focused based on the general idea that you gave him. So in other words, the parable, before we get into the lesson from it, the parable we're trying to say is when a teacher teaches, so a teacher has a brilliant idea. If he delivers a brilliant idea, he lost everybody. So he has to be able to tone it down, separate the part that he can deliver versus the part that he sees and he's so excited about. Then he has to make it in a one point. This is what I'm going to teach you today. Even though in there there's a bunch of details, but he's not teaching the details yet. So once they get the point, what they're going to learn today, they got it. And then he can go ahead and tell the details. But if you start with the details, you're going to lose the point and you're not going to come up with a clear message. So that is the parable. What is the practical application of it? And now we're going to go into the Kabbalistic idea. In order for the light that God uses to create the world should be a light, not that should overpower us in this world, but we should say, wow, I get the light. In other words, not only get it, but we should be able to internalize the light. So you have to have, just like in the teacher, you needed the general idea and then the details. The same thing also, in order for God to give us the light that we can appreciate and enjoy and internalize, you have to have the idea of the cloud, the general idea, the general point, and then afterwards come the details. Now, since the world that we're living in, you can't compare it to the infinite part of Hashem. Hashem is infinite. We're finite. So there's no comparison between us in this world, finite human beings, and God that's infinite. Now, so therefore, if God would come along and draw down the light that he wants to teach us, to begin with all the details that he wanted to teach us, like at Mount Sinai, he gives all the mitzvahs and all the Torah Shel Peh, what would happen is the details would be infinite, just because God's infinite. So the details would be infinite. So therefore, what does God have to do? He has to say, no. We can't give you all the details. I'm going to give you the bullet point. The bullet point. Once you have the bullet point, now you have some kind of an image that we can comprehend and we can appreciate. And through that, later on, the details come from that initial point. Which basically explains why at Mount Sinai, God didn't give us all the details. It would be too much for us. And we'd lose focus. He gave us a general idea. Now, so that's one point. Another point, just like from the parable, when you have a teacher that's educating a student, so what happens is the general idea, the klal is the Hebrew word, the general idea, the point, before all the details, comes A, before he actually, you know, in the teacher himself, he has the idea first, and then the details come afterwards. And therefore, when he gives over the point, he gives it in a short way. He's giving over the general idea. Short messages. And obviously, in those short messages are included and buried in a concealed way all the details that the student will understand afterwards. And the same thing also when he draws down the intellect, which the student could comprehend. So it also comes down in a short idea, which all the details are included in it. In other words, by the teacher as well, before he goes ahead and teaches it. So that's with the parable with the student and the teacher. So the same thing applies on a spiritual level. That the general idea that becomes before the details applies A, when it's being drawn down into the world in order to create the world. In other words, when God decided to create the world, it was the general idea is creating the world. And afterwards, there's details. This day was this, that day was that, and so on and so forth. In other words, so the fact that you have a general idea and then comes the details as on all levels. Any level, you have the general idea, then the details. And that applies, so that's from when it started, the plan. And also when it came to actual creation, so what did God do when he created? There was first in one mimer, one utterance. And what utterance is that? Like we really report the utterance of Bereshis. And afterwards, you had the details of all the other utterances as well. Now, so that's the parable and that's the lesson in terms of the way God created the world and the Sarah Mars, etc. But Rebbe asked now a simple question. One second. We're using a parable of a teacher and a student. So seemingly the parable, the teacher and the student, doesn't really apply here because you can't compare it. Why? In the parable, the fact that the teacher has tremendous wisdom and knowledge and understanding, etc., that's what the teacher has. And he has that not because he needs to teach that to the student. Teacher's a teacher. He sits and studies, and he sits and meditates, and he has brilliant ideas. He's not studying and meditating just to be able to teach that point to the student. He studies and meditates. He has a lot of ideas. The point that he wants to deliver, fine, to that point, he actually toned it down, and he brings it a klal and a prat. However, when we're dealing with the practical application of when God creating the world, he had infinite, so he had to tone it down to give the point, and then he gives the deals afterwards. The fact is, all the revelations that come from God, even the highest revelations, you know, even the level of the light, which is revealing the essence, which is even higher than the first point, which is connected to the world, which is basically when God decided he wanted to create the world. What was the whole reason why God decided to create the world? The whole reason was so that afterwards, through many, many contractions of the 10 utterances that God used to create the world. So if that's the case, why didn't he bring the 10 utterances first? In other words, like this. By the teacher, brilliant teacher, he's choosing to teach this. So you want to know why he had to be so brilliant? Because the teacher's brilliant. And he studies. When it came to God, the whole reason why, his plan was he wanted to create a world. So the whole reason for all the contractions and concealments is to create the world. So God could have gone straight from his plan to create the world, to give the 10 utterances. And they would have been toned down. 10 utterances, and you would have the world that you created. Why do you have to have the general idea, and then you have to have the details? Go straight to the details. In other words, the explanation that we had, why you have to have the general idea and then the details, that's after it was established that you need to have the light, which is higher than having a connection to the world. And from there, you want to have the light that should come connected to the world. In other words, because the fact is the light, which is connected to the world, comes from a higher light, which is not necessarily, has no connection to the world because it's infinite. So therefore, you have to have the general idea, and afterwards, you have the details. But the fact is, the whole reason why God created the light, which is above creation in the world, so that you can create it, since and have the ten utterances, let him start to begin with the 10 utterances. In other words, let me explain this question and we'll go forward. What Rebbe is saying is very simple. By a teacher, he's whatever, he has all his knowledge. Okay, he wants a teacher, he takes out a point and brings it out. But the only reason why Hashem created the infinite and this level and that level is so that he created tenor and create this physical world. He doesn't need, what do he need all the drama of the infinite and the light with the infinite light and then the finite light and then created utterances, etc.? Why all the levels? So the Rebbe explains and he says like this. He says as follows. God, when he decided to create the world, he had an intent. When God wanted to create the world, he had a certain intent. And he had an intent for creating the world. Now, since God wants his intent to be fulfilled, the intent that he had with creating the world, now what was God's intent? God's intent was that the creation and the creator, the creatures that God created in the world, when we go ahead and do our work, we're going to be nullified to God. In other words, God decided, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu, God wanted to make a dir b'tachtonim, which means he wanted to create a world where God's concealed, and we are going to go ahead and pray and study and do mitzvahs and reveal God in this world. Which means, naturally, our default setting is we're arrogant. Our default setting is, I exist. But when we learn and we study and we meditate, we realize, guess what? God is the one that exists. So we nullify ourselves to God. So the intent for God was To create a world, we should be arrogant, naturally, in our default setting. But then through our work, we're going to realize, no, God really runs the world. And we're going to be accepting to God. We're going to be batul alakos. So therefore, since that was God's intent, to create a world which does not naturally recognize God, but through our work, we're going to recognize God. So therefore, God created the world in such a way that even before we do our work, we creations of God should have a preparation, and it should be we should be prepared, and there should be a platform so that there can be an acceptance that will be affected through our work. So therefore, since, again, 2 points. Point number one is the intent was, because the heart of the Chassidic discourse. Since the intent, I mean, every point is very important. This is the heart that will put it all together. The intent is that we should have our ego, but we should be accepting God through our work. So therefore, God wanted that should be available on a spiritual level beforehand so that it can happen. God had to create the dynamic that can happen. So therefore, God went ahead and created the world in a way, at first is a light which has no connection to the world. That means, in that level, godliness is real. And from that level, where godliness is real, and that's the only reality, this draws down a light through the Tzimtzumim, which the light is obviously one that the world can accept. And by doing that, the world is ready to make a dwelling place for Hashem. So that's the general idea. It's also a column prop. So the general idea that Rebbe is saying here is, which we're going to go into in depth, that again, the intent is, what's the goal? The goal is that we should make a Dirbet Achtoinim. We should be accepting for Hashem. In order for that to happen, there had to be that light, the infinite light, where that shows that, you know what the reality is? God's the real reality. That was the preparation that gives us the ability to accomplish our mission. And that's the general. Now there was going to explain it. And there was going to understand it based on what it says in Chazal, that the reason why God created the world with 10 utterances, why did God create the world with 10 utterances? He could have created it with one. Why did he create it with 10? So it says that in Chazal, to take retribution from the wicked people and to give the reward to the tzaddikim. So that's a simple insight. Why did God create 10? Because since it's 10, so therefore you get more reward or more punishment. Simple level. But remember that it's known the explanation according to Chassidus, because if God created the world with one utterance, you know what would happen? That utterance would be so powerful that this world wouldn't exist. It would be totally nullified to Hashem. There wouldn't be a materialistic world. Because even the world of creation, that's created from the utterance of Bereishis in the sphere of Malchus, it's not totally materialistic. And how much more so if it would have been created from Chachma or Kesser, etc., or how much more so if it created from the Ratzlin before the Tzimtzum, so the world would be totally nullified to Hashem. And therefore, if the world be nullified to Hashem, where would we have freedom of choice? If the world was created from one utterance, it means everything you would see would be God and godliness, we wouldn't have freedom of choice. We would be doing whatever God wants. We wouldn't have a choice. So therefore, in order to create the opportunity that we can have freedom of choice and we can make the world a godly place, so therefore God created the world with 10 utterances. So by creating the world with 10 utterances, now you can have a world with materialistic people, egocentrical people. And because we're materialistic and egocentric, and it's all about us, our default setting, our natural setting, so therefore we can choose and say, no, we don't want to be our default setting. We don't want to be our natural setting. We want God to be our God. We want to do whatever Hashem wants. And the whole idea of reward and punishment, you know, is to take retribution from wicked people and to give reward to tzaddikim, now it applies. But since the creation was from a place of the 10 utterances, which makes us a materialistic, egocentrical person, and up to the point we can choose opposite of godliness. So in order for but since God wanted the intent of creation should be successful, that we should find godliness, that means the world should have, God should be revealed in the world, and the world should be accepting for God, So therefore, God made the world in a way that it started out with one utterance. And from that one utterance, that's how you have the development of the 10 utterance. Why is that? And this is very important. Because through God creating it through one and then into 10, so what you have in a concealed way, in all the 10 utterances, the first utterance. And the first utterance, God's number one. And we do our work. What are we doing? We're revealing the first utterance. That means all the levels, up to the level of before the Tzimtzum, are in the 10 utterances that are created from it. And therefore, you create the revealed part of God into the world, and the world can be accepting for God. Okay. So in other words, what the Rebbe is saying is like this, powerful. The intent was to create a world that a default and a natural setting is, it's egotistical. But we're going to do our void, and we're going to make God reality. Now, if God were to create the world with one utterance, we wouldn't have what work to do, because God would be revealed. So therefore, God created the world with 10 utterances. And now God's concealed, now we can do our void. But on the other hand, how are we going to do our avodah? Because the source of all the 10 utterances which creates the concealment comes from the one. And therefore, because it comes from the one, we have the power to reveal God into this world. So based on this, Rebbe explains, that's why, in the beginning, the light, God revealed the light of, which has above a connection to the world, and specifically from there, we have the light that comes to the world. Why? Because it's known that the acceptance of the world from the light that is connected to the world. So what happens then is, let's say we realize, okay, guess what? We're accepting God. If it was coming just from a lower light, it would only be, I'll say it in Hebrew, I'll translate, bitul hayesh. That means my ego is accepting God. I'm an ego and I'm accepting God. Why? Because the fact is, I have some kind of connection to that light. It's a light which is connected to the world. But what is the ultimate, the true acceptance is? Not when I'm bitul hayesh, I'm a somebody and I'm accepting God. Bitul mitzvah, I don't exist. Bitul mitzvah is a higher level, I don't exist. Now, where does that come from? That comes from the light, which is such a powerful light, which has no connection to the world. Now, what is God's intent? The God's intent that we should be totally accepting for God on the highest level of acceptance. And again, the highest level is called not only Bitul Hayesh, but Bitul Metzias, we totally don't exist. And specifically through that, that's how we ultimately make the dwelling place for Hashem. When we have no opinion, the only question is, what does God want from us? That's how we make a dwelling place for Hashem in this world. So therefore, God, what's the first thing that God put into the world? The light, which has no connection to the world. The world doesn't have no comparison to it. And specifically from there came out the light that has a connection to the world. So this way, on a concealed level, what we also have, the light which is above any relations to the world. And like it's known that in the when God originally created the world, so he created a tzimtzum. That means it was a totally empty area. A Rishimai. And over there was a dot. In that dot, in a concealed way, is not only all the details, which comes afterwards, but you also have the internal part of the light, which is which is even greater than having a connection to the world. And like in the example of a teacher and a student, that in the internal point of the brilliance of the teacher, what he wants to teach, which stays with him even after he conceals, in there, in a concealed way, you have all the details he's going to teach later on, which comes from the external part of the teacher, and even from the internal part of the teacher, because ultimately, in there, you have the highest level. Now, since all the details that come afterwards, up until the 10 utterances that God used to create the world, so it's not separate, but it's all connected to the one utterance up to its original source. And in there you have in a concealed level the light which is much higher than having any relation with the world. So therefore, when we do our void in this world, what do we reveal in this world, in the 10 utterances and the world itself? Not only the point of the Maimer Echad, the one utterance, but even the light which is much higher than the world. And like, for example, in the parable of a teacher and a student, that when the student goes into the details, What happens is he gets to the level of the teacher himself. He comes to the depth of the teacher's brilliance. How is that? Because when you reveal that light, what happens is you bring into the world the ability to totally accept Hashem on the highest level, basically in the level of Bittul Metzius. Okay. A step further, but goes down deeper, and he says like this. That what happens is, when we do our work in the details, which again, in the details is buried in a concealed way, the light, which is much higher than even creating the world, we actually reach the essence of the light, and which is even higher than the light, which has no connection to the world. In other words, we have the power to go to the essence of the light. Because this, that in the concealment of the general idea of the worlds, what is in there? You have the light, but you have the expansion of the light. In other words, because in the beginning, when God created the world, the infinite light filled the space. In other words, this light, it's a light, even though it's a very infinite light, but it's a light which expands and it's revealed. But and through that, God decided to create the world. In other words, so the connection of the will for the worlds to the light, which is to the infinite light, it's only referring to the light that's revealed. But when we do our work in Golos, and in all the details, we actually reach a not only the expansion of the light, we actually reach the essence of the light. Now, why is that? How do we reach the essence of the light? And this is a powerful idea. Because the source of the details is higher than the source of the original point. So even though the original point, that's the original point, and you cut the details, but guess what? The source and the details is higher. It's the essence of the light. And like, there gives a simple example. When you have the idea of Chachma, which is the initial thought, and you have Bina, which is the development of the Chachma thought. So even though Chachma is the general idea, and from there comes the details of Bina. But nevertheless, because that's the way it is, but the source of Bina is actually higher than Chachma. So even though Chachma, then Bina. But the source of Bina is higher than Chachma. Why is that? Because we see that when you look into the details of Bina, what happens is you have new ideas that wasn't in Chachma. So through Bina, through the details, you can even go higher than Chachma. And the same thing also applies when it comes to speech. That when it happens, someone has a brilliant idea, and you bring it down to speech. Speech is really for somebody else. And then you have you talk about it, all the details, etc. So what happens, you have actually more details than you had originally. Even after Bina goes into thought. And you have one thought, you can talk about it for much more. Why? Because the source of speech is much higher than the source of Bina. So think of Chachma, then to Bina. Bina, the source of Bina is higher than Chachma. Then it goes into deeper, the source of speech is higher than Bina. And that's when you learn something, when you study, and you study with speech, all of a sudden you have new ideas that you didn't think about before. And even more than Bina. So the lower you go, the source is always higher. So the same thing also applies when a teacher teaches a student. When you teach and you go into all the details, and especially you teach a young child, and matter of fact, the younger the child is, you have to give more examples. You have to go down into more details. So what happens as you go into more details, the wisdom of the teacher goes much stronger. That the teacher didn't have such a great understanding until he taught the student. Like it says clearly, you might tell me that Yosef Mikulon. The rabbi said that he learned more from his students because he had to explain to them. And especially when a student asks questions. Because in order to answer the questions, you have to come up with a new idea that you didn't think about before. Now what does that mean practically? Practically, let's bring it back to our spiritual journey. In reference to the 10 utterances that God used to create the world. So even though, yeah, Bracious, it's the one utterance, that's the real power, and then you have the other 9 afterwards, which is a detail of the first one. But nevertheless, but since the source of the other 9, 10 utterances is higher than the source of the first utterance, so therefore when we do our work in this world that was created through the 10 utterances, and especially the world is created with 10 utterances, so we can choose, God forbid, the opposite of holy. Just like, for example, when you ask questions, etc., what happens is you actually reach to a higher level than the first utterance that was created with one mimer. And not only that, you reach what? The essence of the light, which is higher than the light. And in that level was the God chose to create the world. So the same thing the Rebbe says applies when the way Torah came down in reality. In other words, when Torah came down, you had the general idea. And then you have all the details of the idea. So the same thing also in the details of the Torah, which is not an independent entity of the Torah itself, but its details will come from the original source. So we have the power in the details of the oral law, up to the point that any student that meditates and studies and gets into it, you can come with great ideas. You'll have, in a revealed way, the general idea of the Torah Shemaksav, up until you can go back into the Ten Commandments. In other words, you're going to learn every single point of Torah. You know, when you go into the details, you're connecting to the source. You're literally connecting to a Torah was given at Mount Sinai. So when you're learning Torah, you're going to learn it the same way we receive the Torah, like it says, be'ema, be'yira, be'resus, be'zir, with oral interpretation. Just like when we receive the Ten Commandments. Up to the point of Dibur Echad, that old everything was what? In the first utterance. So by learning Torah, the revealed part, that you literally can go back to its original source. Not only that, the Rebbe says, a step further, that when a person meditates and toils and puts effort into the details of Torah, the oral law, you literally go to a place higher than the general idea. And that's why it says anything that a student is gonna get into it, and he'll create a new idea. In other words, the chadesh, he's gonna come up with a revolutionary idea, because when a person toils in Torah, you draw in from the Torah the way it's sourced in the concealed part, the essence concealed part of infinite part of Hashem, which is higher than the Torah that's revealed. Yeah, the Torah that's revealed, but when you toil, you go into the higher Torah, which is totally concealed. And that's why it says, yogata umatsasa. Yogata umatsasi. You toiled and you found. What does it mean you found? Because the finding means you're finding something new that you never thought you would find it. Because that's not called, if you found something you're going to find, that you knew you're going to find, that's not called finding it. You got something you had before. Finding means it's something totally new. Something, a new idea. It came without even thinking. And that's why he says, you got the umatasi. Put the effort in, you're going to find. By toiling and Torah, you're going to bring out novel and great new ideas, up to the point when you put the effort in Torah, especially in Chassidus, like we're learning now, Pnimius of Torah, which we know this has like a taste of the Torah of Mashiach. We're going to merit to the revelation of the Torah of Mashiach, which is going to come when we're not even thinking about it. Mashiach is going to show up. Like it says, Matsasi David Avdi, I found King David my servant. I found him. And what's going to happen then? We're going to have the revelation of the essence of the infinite part of Hashem without any garments, up to the point that the revelation that took place in Matan Torah is only a taste of what it's going to be like when Mashiach comes. And when is that going to happen? It's going to happen, Mabias Mashiach Tzidkenu, Mashiach is going to come, and like the Rebbe says, B'karayv Mamish, very, very soon and very, very quickly. So here we have another beautiful and powerful Chassidic discourse in honor of the holiday of Shavuot with tremendous depth and tremendous insight. And let's hope and pray that we study the Torah, we study the written law, the oral law, and we really, really study it. Like the Rebbe says, we'll reach to the highest places that we didn't even think we're going to reach. Yogata matzasa, and like ultimately we'll have through learning Torah we'll have the greatest find. We'll find Mashiach Tzidkenu. Our next class will be in Yerushalayim, Yerakodesh. Have a great and blessed week. Shavua tov.